I want to read something to you tonight from the book of Ruth, because it speaks of a little bit about home life. Ruth, 4 chapters, short story. And you'll find it at the beginning after the book of Judges, the Old Testament there. We read about a Jewish family. Father's name was Elimelech. Mother's name was Naomi. And they had 2 boys, Mahlon and Chilion. They lived in Bethlehem, the city in which Jesus was born. Bethlehem had a name. It means the house of bread. It was farmland. And they had a lot to eat there, I guess, and plenty to eat. And so they called it the house of bread. But strangely, they had a famine. A famine set into the country, we read here. And so Elimelech, his wife, and his family, they said, let's get out of here. Let's go to the land of Moab. We understand there's bread there. They're having good crops. Let's move. Let's get away from here and go where we can make a better living. And so up they went and over to the land of Moab. Now to us that doesn't mean very much because we're living in a different time. But God's people had been given the land of Palestine to live in. And the Lord had told them, and they had told the Lord, if it doesn't rain in the land, if we sin against God, God will withhold the rain. And here he was punishing these people, trying to bring them back to himself. And they ran away from the discipline. He said, we don't need that. We can move out of here. We can have it okay over in the land of Moab. What if they worship idols over there? What difference does that make? We've gotten enough to eat anyway, and that's the most important thing. And so off they went. Do you know how many people figure like that today? Instead of trusting God and speaking to God and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? They say, oh my, I could do a lot better in California. Plenty jobs there. I'll go to California or I'll go to Texas. Some families moved to Texas not too long ago, and now Texas is in a real slump. Business is bad. Well, they were making good money there. That was the place to go. But situations can change very rapidly. And we as children of God ought to ask God, where do you want me to go? We find out that Elimelech and Naomi and their children, they were in the land of Moab about 10 years. And in that time, Naomi's husband died. The 2 sons married girls from Moab. Both sons died. And all that's left now is Naomi with 2 widowed. Well, they were her daughters-in-law. Poor. The men all gone. And finally, Naomi decides, I'm going back home. I hear that God has visited the people there. I'm going back home. And so, she said to the girls, now, you're young yet. And you're from the land of Moab. You could stay here and get married again. Be better for you to do that. Don't come with me. God has dealt harshly with me. You stay here. You've got a better chance here. A lot of people figure that way too, don't they? It's a normal thing, of course, for us to be married, to have families. It's just a normal thing to do. And she said to these girls, You can find rest here. I like that expression, don't you? About getting married. You find rest. That's the way it ought to be. Security, that's the idea. We would use that word today, perhaps. You stay here and you've got a better chance. But we find out the two girls, Orpah, kissed her mother-in-law, Ruth, and said, "Nice to have known you. I'm going back. I got a better chance in life to go back home." And Ruth said to her mother-in-law, "Listen, don't ask me to leave you or to return from following after you. Where you go, I'm going. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your God is going to be my God, and your people will be my people." And she gave that vow, and Naomi stopped trying to persuade her. But you see, the point is that Ruth saw something that her sister-in-law, Orpah, did not see. She saw in Naomi a faith in God. And to her, that was more important. To really have a hold of God and have faith in God than to have to go and find another husband. Now, she found one. God gave him to her. But she saw this is more important. That I have, we call it in German, a Halt. You know what that means? A real place to anchor, to be sure. Have some real security. And she saw something in the faith of her mother-in-law. I think that's very nice, isn't it? We sometimes make jokes about our mother-in-laws, and they have to hear a lot of things. But here was a mother-in-law who lived so in front of her daughter-in-law that she saw, she's got something that I want. She has something that I never knew about. She has a faith in God. She has communion with God. I want her God. I want to be one of those people that serve this God. What a testimony. I wonder if people watch us and they say, "I'd like to have that fellow's God. He has such peace and security. There's something about him that's different, and there's something that I don't have that I'd like to find." Our lives ought to breed that kind of lives, that other people are drawn to our God. Not to us, necessarily. We're all different. But we can all have faith in God. We can all know the Lord. And it is more important for us to know God and to have peace with God and to have a faith in God that is strong and real than anything else in this world. And Ruth saw that. And so she said, "I'm going with you. You can go back, but I'm poor. God has dealt harshly with me." When she got back home, they said, "Is that Naomi? She must have changed. You think so? Maybe she had wrinkles and what we call Sorgenfalten, you know. She had so many worries and cares and troubles, and now had lost her husband and her sons." And they said, "Is that Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Mara means bitter. "Because God has dealt bitterly with me." It never pays to run away from God. People do that. They try to. There might be someone here that's trying to run away from God. You can't. It's better to run to him and say, "I need you, Lord." James says, "You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." and God will exalt you in due time. We're dealing with a loving Heavenly Father. And they had the testimony, God has dealt, it's been a bitter way, going my own way. Here she got back home and the people were being blessed and they were happy. They had food again. And she has to come back and she's lost everything. The fields have been sold. Nothing. And Ruth had to do the work of the poorest people. God had made that provision. He had said, when you reap your field, don't reap all the way to the edges. Leave a little grain for the poor. Let them come into your field and pick up those heads of grain. And Ruth went, sought out the field, a field where they were harvesting, and asked, can I glean in your field? He said, yes, come on. Although she was a stranger, a Moabite girl, she found the boss came around. She heard him speak, and he wished everybody God's blessing. That's how he greeted them. My, wouldn't that be nice when you go to work tomorrow morning if the boss came in and say, God bless you all. So glad you're here. Hope you had a good weekend. And we're going to trust him to give us... Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe you'd flip. But that's the kind of a boss they had. And he watched her. And he said to the head reaper there, he said, who's that girl? Oh, she's the Moabitess girl that came with Naomi. Oh, he said, I heard about her. She has taken upon herself this job of supporting her mother-in-law. She wouldn't have had to do that. She could have just said goodbye. But she didn't. She made herself responsible for her mother-in-law. And she got to work. And he had heard about that. That had been talked all over town. Something about that girl, it's different. So, as she gleaned in the field, it got to be lunchtime, and he called to her. He said, come on, sit down, have lunch with us. And here she's invited, and she enjoys that lunch. And then he says, don't go in anybody else's field, but stay right in my fields until the harvest is past. You're welcome here. And you know, pretty soon he's telling the reapers, every once in a while, let a handful fall right in front of her when she comes and, you know, she's going to glean. Give her something. See to it that she gets enough. And Ruth came home the first day with a lot of grain. Beat it out. You know, they threshed it out by beating it and tossing it up and the wind blowing away the chaff. And here she had a real good portion. And Naomi said, where did you glean today? Oh, his name is Boaz. In his field. I worked there. Oh. I'll tell you something about him. He's a relative of ours. He's our kinsman. Now, the kinsman in the Bible had the right to redeem. You see, that's the way they worked it. They had their systems. You could... If you got into debt and lost everything, one of your near relatives had the right to go and pay off that debt and take over. And there was also another provision there that if someone died, a widow, woman, lost her husband, her brother was supposed to marry her husband's brother, and raise up seed unto his brother. Have a family. And Naomi said, he is one that could redeem us. Well, she kept on working in his field, and he kept watching her. What kind of a girl is this anyway? What kind of a woman? And he noticed she didn't flirt with anybody, any of the other young fellows. But she tended to her business, worked hard. You know, I want to tell you something, young ladies. You may meet a lot of young fellows, and they like to play around. But when it comes to choosing a wife, they don't generally choose one of the girls that flirts around. You ever notice that? I have. I'm a minister many years, and I've watched that. And I've seen people come to our church, too. Some fellows. What do they want? Oh, they've been all around having a lot of fun, as they call it, with the girls. But when they want to get married, they come and they look around the church. They want a good, solid, dependable Christian girl. I remember some years ago, they were upstairs and they were looking in the door to them. And I knew them. I said, over my dead body, are you going to get a girl in this church? Scalawags. They weren't worth anything. But they do that, you know. You want somebody that is pure and clean and diligent, has lived for God, virtuous woman. That's what they want to marry. And Boaz watched her, and he said, you know, she's so clean, devoted. She doesn't pay attention to any of the other men. And he told his men, he said, don't you bother her. Leave her alone. And time went on, of course, and they followed through the barley harvest. Then came the wheat harvest, and it was pretty nearly over, the harvest time. And she kept getting more grain all the time. You wondered if she was getting better at it, or Boaz, he kept saying, toss, let her glean right where you're reaping. Let her come right up close and drop down a handful once in a while. And finally, Naomi, when it got to be so much mother-in-law, you know, they're pretty smart, some of them. And she began to say, she said, Naomi, you want me to provide rest for you? You see, in those days, and in the countries now in Asia, you don't make your marriage. That's made for you by your parents. They arrange that for you. You know, Sister Young, some of you, that missionary, she arranged a lot of weddings. Did you know that? She never told you that, did she? But in China, you have to have someone that introduces you to the boyfriend. You don't just go and look at each other at the door and say, would you like some pizza? No, you don't do that. You have to wait to be introduced. And so they would go to Sister Young, these fellows, and they say, you know, I really think I ought to marry so-and-so. Would you pray about that? She would. Would you introduce me to her? Yes, I will. And so she'd call the young lady in and her family and introduce this young man to the lady. How would you like to have a wedding like that, that you has been arranged for you? You wouldn't have to bother, you know. Everything taken care of. Well, they're nice. They live happily ever after. But here Naomi said, say, you want me to, I'm going to tell you something. That man Boaz, he's our kinsman. And he can redeem you. He's a rich man. He's the richest man in town. He wasn't driving a white Rolls Royce either. But he was a rich man. And he's single. Now, Naomi gives it away, doesn't she? I tell you what, she said, you have to ask him, though, if he'll redeem you. and he'll redeem us, our fields, pay off the debt of Elimelech and the boys, and buy them back for us. If he'll do that, you ask him. And sure enough, she asked him. And you know what he said? And I like that. He said, "You did me an honor by asking me." Had a young fella come to me one day, he's blowing off. "I could have any girl in that church," he said to me. What an opinion of himself. I said, "You poor goose. You couldn't." He thought he was such a hit, you know. Anybody like that isn't worth a bean. I don't know of any better thing to tell you. But this man said, "You honored me by asking me to marry you." Any young man or young woman, you know, we have to realize that this is a serious matter. And when a young man realizes that here's a woman who's trusting her life to me, has that much confidence in me, he ought to be honored. When Brother Wannenmacher, most of you know him, when he married one of the finest girls on what we called the North Shore that time. That's north of Chicago, along the shore. A very well-educated woman that came from a very fine family, and he wasn't. He was rough. He was a musician. He had played in the dance halls and around, and he knew the rougher part of life, things that Helen didn't know anything about. And he knew how people would get drunk and fight, and he knew all those things. He had been brought up in that atmosphere. And now he had asked this girl, they were both saved, and he asked her to marry him, if she would pray about that. She did. And she said, yes. You know, the week before he got married, Joseph disappeared. That's kind of a funny thing for the bride, isn't it? Where's the guy? Where's my bridegroom? Nobody knew where he was. He showed up for the wedding, all right. He was there on time, but you know what he did? He said, "I began to see what a responsibility I had. And I went away to fast and pray and say, oh God, make me a man that's worthy of Helen. Make me worthy of her." You know, it's a marvelous thing when God can come into a home. That's the foundation for a godly home. When a young man and a young woman give themselves to God, they want God's will to be done. They don't take it lightly, but they realize that we are heirs together of the grace of life. We belong together for Him. And it requires, I have a book in German. Man braucht Gott Mensch zu sein, is the title. You need God to be a man, a real man, a clean man in heart, pure heart. You need God for that, and we can have God. And Brother Wannenmacher went to God, and he sought God, and he said, oh God, make me worthy of Helen. You know, they've had such a happy life until God took her home recently. Now he's 93, I guess he's going to be, something like that, or just was. And still praising God, family serving the Lord, the three children given to God. Marvelous hope. But they started out like that, and here, Naomi, that man is our Redeemer. You ask him. And he said, you've honored me by asking me. You can read, I'm not just telling you the story tonight. But you can read it there. Everybody knows you're a virtuous woman. But there's one fella closer than I am. And we've got to give him first choice. If he doesn't do it, I'll do it. And so Ruth came home, and before he left, she left him. Why, he loaded her down. He said, come on. You know how the ladies in the old country have these big aprons? Pull that out. He dumped that full, lifted it up on her shoulder, and sent her. She's carrying this grain over her back. And Naomi sees it. She said, just sit down, don't worry. He won't stop until he settled it. She could tell that by what she had given him, what he had given her. And sure enough, the next day he takes action and he gets the court together. That was nice, wasn't it? You just sat down in the gate, and as the influential people came out or into their from their fields, sit down over here. Sit down here. And after a while you get enough of them. And then you say, we got some business to do here. Very simple life, huh? And here came this other man. Say, you can redeem the field of Elimelech. But the day you do, he said, I'll buy it. I'd like to get my hands on that. Like to add that to my property. But he says, the day you do, you have to marry Ruth, the Moabitess. And he said, uh-oh. I'd spoil my inheritance. I think he was married and had a family, and he realized if he married Ruth, he'd have to divide. He said, it would spoil my inheritance. You go ahead. He said, thank you. And before the day was over, it was done. It was all finished. But now this kinsman redeemer is a type in the Bible of Jesus Christ, who left heaven to become one of us. Though he was rich, we read, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. And we are in that place where we need to be redeemed. We're sold under sin. The devil has gotten the advantage. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's one who left heaven, and he has come to redeem us. And he has come not only to redeem us, to pay the debt for our sins, but to bring us into fellowship with himself, to be our very own. And you find pretty soon that Ruth means satisfied, by the way, and she was perfectly satisfied. Had come from a far country, and now had been redeemed, and the debts had been paid, and she had been united to her Redeemer. And pretty soon in the family there, what do you think? They had a little boy, his name was Obed. And Obed became the grandfather of King David. But you see something about the family and the structure of the family and the way they honored God and the way God honored them and the way God used them and used godly people to build up his kingdom. And they owe me the old, what would we call her now? Not really the grandma, but she's there. She gets to be the babysitter. And she was so proud. Walking little Obed down the street in his carriage and everybody looking at him. Oh, we had a rough time there. We ran away from God. We sinned against him and he dealt harshly with us. But now look what he's done. We've come back home, and we've been redeemed, and all our debts are paid. And now we're a happy family. I wonder if your family is a happy family. Do you know Jesus, this great Redeemer? Is he yours? He wants to be. And he wants to change your life. Take away your sin. Come into your home and be the center of it. And you know, that which you need, he can supply for spirit and soul and body. And what a transformation came in the life of Ruth because she made her choice. I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. I want to come into God's family. When she made that choice, oh, how God met her. How about you tonight? Are you in God's family? Do you know it? Do you know that your sins are gone? You're forgiven. Do you know that Jesus Christ is your wonderful Savior and Lord? He wants to be. He'll change your whole life. He'll satisfy your heart. He'll bring you into that family of God. And you'll be happy waiting for the day when we shall all see the King. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend tonight, how is it with you? Have you put God first in your life? Let him be first. And if you haven't, do it tonight. And let Christ take your life and make that life worthwhile. You will apply yourself. You'll take your responsibilities, and God will give you grace, and he'll meet you. Oh, it's so safe to commit everything to him. Praise the Lord. I wish I could guarantee you all a Boaz, you young folks here, the richest fellow in town. But I can guarantee you something better. Christ will be yours. The Son of God will come and take charge of your life. And when he takes charge, things will work out all right.